Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
Hi, this is Bobcat Goldthwait. You're listening to Storyworthy. So if you're looking for something else, you should turn this off.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from Legend Valley in Thornville, Ohio.
What is that?
This is the new home of the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, I see.
They originally wanted to move it to a place called Kaiser, Missouri, and several local citizens protested vigorously.
I could see that.
You don't hear vigorous very much anymore unless it's used with the word protest. And a guy said, hey, you can come have it at my ranch.
All right, the Gathering of the Juggalos. I'm not surprised that it's in the Midwest. I'll say that.
Yeah, well, Missouri is, Ohio. Yeah,
same thing.
Yeah, it's barely, Northern Ohio is the Midwest. Southern Ohio is the beginning of the South.
All right, well, this is really exciting, you guys. We're talking about the Juggalos because our guest tonight is Bobcat Goldthwait.
Bobcat Goldthwait?
And his
he's
story
a juggalo?
Title.
No, he's
no,
not.
No. I ask the guest, Hannes. That's what makes our podcast a little bit different. I say to the guest, what would you like to talk about? Like, I don't say, hey, you know, you got to talk about fear or growing up or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I say, what would you like to talk about? And Bobcat Goldthwait says, I'd like to talk about performing for the Juggalos.
That's good. And because we haven't had that.
But immediately in my head, I thought, oh, my God, he's talking about Insane Clown Posse. But then I wrote back, you know, to say, is this what you're talking about? And in fact, that
yeah,
is what
did you get
about.
That? Because I got the impression, because I saw the exchange of emails, that you had no fucking idea what the Juggalos were.
No,
but you did.
I did. But I wanted to clarify, because
yes,
I don't know what direction he's
yes,
going in. And you don't hear that every day.
A British version of the Juggalos, which involves more
well,
of a
no, but,
theatrical
you know, here
troupe.
At Storyworthy, we've done about 320 shows,
yes,
and nobody has brought up the Juggalos.
I know. We get a lot of acid trips. We get a lot of losing virginity. We get a lot of car crashes.
Yeah.
Not first time Juggalo story.
A lot of stand-up stories, because mostly we have on comedians, so that would make
sense. I know,
sense.
And I'm so fucking sick of it.
Well, listen, I couldn't be more thrilled about Bobcat being on the show, because I am a huge fan of his movies, because his movies, you know, they're character-driven. They're real life. They're like people you know.
They're like an actual movie as opposed
yeah.
to what studios are producing now. I hate to sound like an old man, but
it's
just like, what can I blow up and then blow it up again next summer in a
it's
sequel?
It's the whole thing. They kind of remind me a little of like Todd Solondz's pictures, you know, where every shot, every screen, everything you see is important on the screen. And he trims the fat, and he trims the fat. And his music adds to the film. It doesn't take away.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to have big time stars that you immediately say, like, you know, what's Tom Cruise doing in this movie? You know, the people are, you believe.
Although I would like to see Tom Cruise in a Bobcat Goldthwait movie.
You
I
would?
Think that might be the greatest movie of all time. His good friend Robin Williams starred in
oh my gosh, The World's Greatest Dad.
World's Greatest Dad.
And that movie, you know, again, every picture complements itself, the music underneath it. His movies, there's like, you have to connect the dots. Individually, some of it is so dark, like God Bless America. I mean, some of it is like, whoa, that's dark for me. And I love Spanking the Monkey. And so some of it gets
so
dark.
I enjoyed the killing of the monkey. That's such a stupid joke.
But then at the end of his movies, you see how it all ties in. And it's personal and it's intimate.
Yeah.
And the characters are really complete.
At least five people said to me, because I was like, hey, we're going to have Bobcat Goldthwait on the show. That's going to be great. And five individual people said to me, oh, ask him if there's going to be a sequel to Shakes the Clown. People love the Shakes the Clown.
All right.
They want a second Shakes
you
the Clown. I'm just putting
that.
It out there.
All right.
It needs to happen, apparently.
You know, in some of his movies, we've had his actors on our show, like Toby Huss.
Yes.
And Frank Conniff.
Yes.
Have all been in his movies, and I thought that was kind of fun. You don't care?
Wow. No, don't care.
That just
wow.
fell. That's
that was
you're
just
supposed to yes and me.
Yes, and I agree. No, that didn't make it any better. No, it's
all
still
right,
bad.
You guys.
It's
still
bad.
We're going to cut our banter short.
Oh, no, we're not going to. Yeah. No, I want every moment of this deadly silence to be on the
podcast.
But I
did want to remind you guys that if you'd like to support the Storyworthy podcast, that would be fantastic. We've been going just over 5 years now. The money, I wouldn't say, is rolling in.
No, there's a small trickle of money, like when the snow starts to melt high in the Sierras.
Yeah.
Just barely, and there's a little water coming down,
and the
animals start to come out of their hibernation.
I still feed my child 5 of 7 days. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I'm almost there.
But she's a Hollywood kid, so she needs to stay
thin. But I'm not putting this on our audience. You know, I'm not saying it's their responsibility.
No, her child is starving because of you. Thank you, you fucking bastard.
No.
Give us some goddamn money.
All right, here's what you can do, folks. You can head on over to storyworthymedia.com and buy my book.
Yes.
Pit to LAX. My Storyworthy Life. That's good, honest.
Yeah, that was exciting. That was sort of
really
a
good
synchronicity there. Please, for God's sakes. You know, you could go to storyworthypodcast.com, click on the Amazon banner, and then buy Pit to LAX, and then we get a little taste, and we get a taste.
We win.
That's a double taste.
We win. Everybody's winning. Then what you do, you head on over to Amazon, you leave me a good review.
Ah.
And if you want to give us any money over at the PayPal, you can do that too.
You can do that. I want to say Christine is very into getting good reviews on the internet, which is a losing battle.
Oh, yeah, no, you're totally right. I totally agree with you. Do you remember that time I said to the guest, I said, if you send me $10, I will text
the listeners, you mean? Yes.
Yeah, the listeners.
You said the guest.
Okay, yeah. No.
Because we usually, by the way, Bobcat looks worried we're going to ask him for $10. We're not going to ask you for $10.
Hey, man, do you remember that time Sugar Ray Leonard was in here? Seriously, with Sugar Ray Leonard on the show.
Sure.
And he's going to eat after the show, and I swear to God, he turns to me, and you know what he says?
What?
Hey, Christine, can I borrow $20?
Wow.
You think I'm lying to you?
No, I don't think you're lying, and I think you gave it to him because...
But
you're
going to
turn down a guy who can drop you?
I didn't have it.
Oh, I see.
Darren McAvee standing behind me. He gives me
Here's what it is. Not only are you starving Christine's beautiful child, but Sugar Ray Leonard, former champion, cannot get a meal because you people will not go to Patreon and give us monthly donations.
All right, look,
give us
guys,
monthly donations.
We love you, and you love
us.
Yeah,
we love you. Give us money.
Follow us on Twitter at Storyworthy. All right, you guys.
We're like the worst PBS station ever.
We will come to your home. My point real quick was that I do text with that guy from time to time, and he's super sweet, and he's in Chicago, and fair enough.
Right, and for 20, you get sexed.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest is here, and we are so excited to hear about his story about
the Juggalos.
He's
wearing a tuxedo, which is unusual.
Finally,
I didn't think that.
The Juggalos. All right, you guys, wherever you are, stay around because Bobcat Goldthwait is on his way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have artist, photographer, producer Julie Gardner.
And I'll be talking about pursuing my passion.
That's next time on Storyworthy. Hey, Christine, tell everybody about our social media consulting business.
Well, Hannes, we have learned so much over the last 5 years doing Storyworthy about social media, and we've had so many guests on the show that have given us their tips and ideas.
Yeah.
And so now we are sharing our experience with others. We've started a new social media consulting business, and if you email us at info@storyworthypodcast.com, I'll be happy to fill you in on exactly what we're able to do for you.
Yeah, we can increase your social media footprint.
Exactly.
Footprint.
Exactly.
Footprint.
Again, email us over at info@storyworthypodcast.com, and I'll be happy to email you a rate sheet.
Now, this is Roddy Dangerfield. You're listening to Storyworthy. Go fuck yourself. All right. What are you going to do, you know?
Ohio. We traveled to Cleveland to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know why? Because that's the only reason anybody ever went to Cleveland.
I would go to Cleveland to see the Rock and Roll
Hall. Well, we're here right now. We're going to have lunch with Little Richard. It's going to be fantastic. And we're going to ask him his opinion of the Juggalos. That's why we're here.
By the way, you know, of course, I'm from Pittsburgh. And Cleveland is only like an hour and a half away.
I know.
And they were like our big rival, you know, because it was the Steelers and the Browns, you know. And then when the Browns got bought by Baltimore, it was like our city was just as shattered as Cleveland. It was like, you can't take our our enemy.
Yes, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Because we could be next.
Right. So now you're, yeah. So now you guys hate the Ravens, which makes no sense.
You know, the good news is I haven't watched football in 15 years, and my Sundays are brilliant.
You know,
honestly.
Ever since you got a divorce and had a child, well, you had a child, then you got a divorce.
Yeah, could you put that in the right order?
Yeah,
please?
Yeah, that was in the right order. It's like now you're like, oh, my life is. And meanwhile, I got a boner the other day because I saw some footage of Aaron Rodgers in training camp. So
that
I'm like.
So upsetting. Oh. Seriously. That no, I don't know.
You should have seen me. Okay, they retired Brett Favre's number and put him in the Packer Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
This was live on ESPN. I stayed at work late watching it, and I cried. I cried like a big Green Bay pussy.
I am so not surprised.
You could come in here right now and tell me something terrible happened to you, and I'd go, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Wouldn't shed a tear.
Yeah.
Brett Favre crying like a baby.
Yeah, I believe that. That's all right. I know where I'm at. I know the pecking order.
It's not the pecking order. It's that I'm a sick bastard who grew up in Wisconsin.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's here right now, Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah, let's get to somebody important.
He's a comedian, an amazing writer, and a director. And some of his movies include Sleeping Dogs Lie, World's Greatest Dad, God Bless America. By the way, Hannes, of course, I've seen all of those.
Yes, and I want to say, as an actor in Scrooged, fantastic.
Yeah, okay.
Love that friggin' movie.
Yeah, I didn't say actor, so thank you for, yeah.
I'm just saying he's also been an actor. He's a hyphenite.
He's been in the industry since I think he was like 15 or 16, so it's just this body of work that just goes and goes and goes, and now
he every 10 years he gets fired from one profession and has to move to another.
Yeah. He directs Jimmy Kimmel Live. He's been directing episodes of Marin.
I know, that's awesome.
And his most recent film is a documentary about his good friend comedian Barry Crimmins, and they've been all over the place.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah, well, I haven't been able to see the film yet, but I've watched the trailers and such.
It only opened very recently.
I think today. I think August 7th.
Well, remember, our show is evergreen, so we never say dates.
It's called
You're the
Call
one who taught me that.
Lucky. Call Me Lucky, and it's now showing in theaters across the country. All right, you guys. You can find Bobcat on Twitter at BC Goldthwait.
I'm sorry, Bobcat Goldthwait was taken?
I'm going to...
He had to go with, this is what's wrong with the internet. I'm positive there was already an at Bobcat.
Oh, sure, there was someone else was me.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Bobcat Goldthwait.
Well, thank you. Hi, thanks for having me on. So I performed at the Gathering of the Juggalos, and for those people who don't know what the Gathering of the Juggalos is, Insane Clown Posse is a music festival, and I'm using the term music really loosely, and it's really sketchy. I toured as an opening act for Nirvana. I've done gigs. I was the opening act for Nirvana. Comics will often go, oh, you know, talk about heckling. I was hit with a teenager. They successfully threw a teenager out of the pit, and it hit me. I'd have M80s going by, blowing off around my head and stuff. Still not as sketchy as the Juggalos, because there's no security. There's no lights. It's just kind of like, it's like Mad Max. There's just fires and people selling bath salts, people taking bath salts, and I'm making a general sweeping statement here, but most of the Juggalos are morbidly obese, and they wear clown makeup. It's a incest survivors convention. It's like, no one's going to molest me. I'm a scary clown. So, again, if you haven't been exposed to the Gathering of Juggalos, Google Tila Tequila Gathering of the Juggalos, because when she was performing, the Juggalos like to spray Fago Cola on each other and on the acts, and they ran out of Fago Cola to spray on Tila Tequila, so they knocked over the outhouses, and they just grabbed human poo and threw it at her. And I stress human because, like, if it's so much worse. Like, if you and I were walking on the street and you picked up some dog shit and hit me with it, later on we would be friends. I mean, I'd be mad, but we'd laugh it off. I'd be like, dude, why'd you do that? You know, I don't know if that was funny. But if you picked up some hobo duke and hit me with it, that would be a deal breaker. We wouldn't be friends anymore. So I'd be like, great, now I got hep C in my eye, really swift. So my opening act was a guy named Upchuck the Clown, and Upchuck is driving me around the grounds of the gathering, and he's trying to convince me, you got nothing to worry about, you know, they're going to really love you, you know, it's really chill, it's family, you know, it's like, you know what really made me mad, he said, it's like performing at a Dave Matthews concert, and that made me mad to imply I would go to a Dave Matthews concert. That's what really frosted my cake. So a juggalo breaks free of the herd while we're driving around in this golf cart. And the juggalos were impressed. Like, who are the millionaires? You know, they're in a golf cart. So this juggalo runs alongside of the moving golf cart that Upchuck's driving. He just starts punching him right in the face while he's driving. He's like, fuck you, Upchuck! Fuck you! And he's hitting him really hard in the face. And Upchuck just hits the gas and nervously laughs. I'm here every year. They know me. And then a can of Faygo comes whizzing in at about 50 miles an hour and just pops him right in the skull. There's this big, loud pop. And then he was unconscious for a split second. He slumped over the steering wheel. And then he wakes up and he goes, I'm hurt really bad. And so he goes, steer. So he hits the gas again, and now I'm steering with the semi-unconscious clown slumped over the wheel, and we're weaving in and out of juggalos like it's Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And then he clearly had a concussion, and I helped him in the dressing room, and seeing that this is broadcast, he may or may not. He did some sort of white powdery beef, to quote Shakes the Clown. I guess it's a old-time remedy, you know, if you had a concussion, you don't want to sleep, you know, feed a fever. So, yeah, it might have been speed, or I don't know what it was, but he's doing some sort of powder. So that is, you may want to edit that out. That could be slightly libelous. But, yeah, so I did, it's a sweet gig, gathering the jugglers. So I'll be back next year. I'm really looking forward to it. No.
Hey, you know, I got to tell you, I knew about the Faygo pop, and you know, I called around this morning to Albertsons.
Wow, to get Faygo?
Devon's.
There's a place in the valley that sells it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I called because they didn't have it.
Is that place
it.
On Magnolia Boulevard?
Yeah, that has all the sodas and candies from around the world.
Is that the one with the big dancing clown?
No, that's a liquor store near my house on Vineland and
that's
Burbank.
Upsetting.
And
now you're just
enormous,
bragging.
No, there's enormous neon clown.
Don't be putting out where you live.
Yeah, that's right.
You live in the deep, deep valley. I'm not judging, but
hey, man, I live in the NoHo Arts District.
This is an ongoing thing. Let me tell you,
the NoHo Art District. Oh,
remember, Faygo came in a 16-ounce bottle that was really a good thick glass. I could
see
him definitely
because it's
getting
a weapon.
Knocked
glass.
Out.
Glass. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. No, it was a glass bottle. Yeah. The Faygo. There was red pop, and then there was a.
There's many. I got sprayed with Faygo, and Upchuck said, "Don't worry, it's diet." Because I guess diet doesn't stain.
Because it doesn't stick. No, that's not as sticky.
Maybe it doesn't stick.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It doesn't have sugar in it. So that's why Diet Coke isn't sticky.
Yeah, or doesn't bring ants.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Here's something else.
Okay, see, now that worries me because I drink a lot of Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi, and it's like ants won't eat it. Maybe I should not be imbibing so much.
Ants are worried about.
Yeah.
Here's something else I know about the juggalos. They like to make and respond to whoop whoop calls.
Yeah. Whoop whoop. No. They're whoop whoop. Whoop whoop. Because whoop whoop is Bigfoot call.
Oh.
So I've been in the woods with both people that use whoop whoop as their call.
Where did you shoot the Bigfoot film?
In the Northern California, Willow Creek, the town that the movie's called Willow Creek. But I've gone out looking for Bigfoot with these guys a number of occasions.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's a blast.
Do you continue to do that?
Yeah. I haven't done it this year, but I've done it a bunch.
Do you actually plan to see Bigfoot, or is it just about? Because you don't drink, do you?
No, but the
isn't it about?
I don't drink and I don't smoke weed, which. It's funny because there's different arguments like don't smoke, Bigfoot hates smoke, and
really,
but apparently he loves grass.
Yeah,
but then,
well, it's natural.
But they'll burn bacon too, and they go, you know, Bigfoot likes bacon. And I go, yeah, mountain lions and bears like bacon too. So.
But are these sorts of Bigfoot quests? Or is it kind of like when guys go hunting but don't even take bullets?
Right,
like, where they're just kind of doing for the kinship,
dudes being dudes. Yeah, there's
ice fishing, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I look the worst day. Looking for Bigfoot is camping. You know?
Yeah.
So
and why? Because you're not good at camping, or?
Well, I like camping. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize I liked the woods. But it makes sense because I'm a bit of a misanthrope. I love.
Because you're from Syracuse, New York.
Syracuse, New York. I used to go up the Adirondacks a lot as a kid. But you know, it's interesting because Barry Crimm is the subject of Call Me Lucky. Lives out in the woods, and so it's two movies in a row about a mysterious hairy creature who lives in the woods.
I heard Barry talking about how there'd be like a car would go by, and then 6 hours later another car would go by, and he'd say, "What's up with the traffic?"
Well, he lives on the end of two dirt roads to get to his place.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you can't. What do you say?
I made a documentary out of this hermit that clearly didn't
you feel
want,
that you're at some point, you're within the next few years, you yourself are just going to retire to the woods.
Oh, no. Gonna... You know, I have a lot of friends that are doing that kind of thing. And
really?
That are like pulling the plug. And
I could see it easily if I had.
And I won't because society is crumbling. It's a nosedive. We won't be able to fix what we've done to the earth and what we continue to do to each other. But with that said, I'm going to go out with both guns, you know.
And good restaurants, right?
What's that?
And good restaurants.
Yeah, well, no. I'm not going to live it up.
Well, no, but that's...
I'm more like the fiddle player on the Titanic. You know?
See. You're going to go to the very end.
Yeah, man. It's like, I, without sounding too pretentious, if you create
too late.
Stuff... too late. That bus left a while ago. But, creating, if you keep making stuff, you know, that is the giving death the middle finger. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, that's why I make so much stuff. It's funny, someone said, they go, you know, why do you, you know, what filmmakers are you competing with? Because I make a movie about every year and a half, and I'm like, I'm not competing with filmmakers, I'm competing with the Grim Reaper. You know, I found out late in life what I really love doing, so I'm
yeah. A friend of mine always, his saying is, you know, Christine, it's later than you think.
Yeah. It sounds like a bummer.
What do you think? Give me $20.
Let me ask you. Just
I could be
back
dead
up.
Before I give it back to you.
I want to back up 1 second before we finish talking about the Juggalos. Who booked that gig? And how did
that
all happen?
Oh, that was the thing. I said no. And then I was like, okay. And then they offered me a lot of money.
Really?
And then my wife at the time, she thought it was hilarious. She was like going, yeah, we're going to go. And she's definitely a tough lady. And, you know, she thought it was like a photography safari, you know. Oh, it'll be funny. And then when we got there, the joke was over.
Because you had to camp, right?
Well, no, we drove in and drove out, even though I went on at 1 a.m. But yeah, you know, I initially thought I was going to explain how magnets work.
Because
of the
song Miracle.
Yeah, I was going to say, when a negatively charged ion and a positively charged ion, you know, and then throw the mic down. But then when I got up there, I pandered so much.
What did you actually do? What were you saying? Were you able to do any material?
Oh, please. I pandered. I'm like, you know, whoop, whoop.
Yeah, here, give me some Faygo. I'll spray it on you.
I'd like to say, I may or may not have done the voice from the 80s. I did whatever it took to get out of there.
Did it really look like fires?
Oh, there was.
That's so funny.
There's just random fires.
Did anybody greet you? You were in the golf cart, so they took you, and they said, this is where you're performing. Here's the microphone.
Yeah, it was, Upchuck did a lot of the wrangling and stuff, but it really was, I can't explain it. It's not, there was, you know, the absence of security in lights.
An angle of danger.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So that makes it exciting.
Okay.
But I kept reading about how they're like, it's not dangerous. We're not a gang. The FBI shouldn't be, you know, trying to say that we are a gang. It's like, it sounds kind of gangish.
You know, yesterday the FBI asked to watch Call Me Lucky. Which
really?
I find very fascinating.
No, is that true?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that is fascinating. Okay, so Call Me Lucky, the documentary you did about Barry Crimmon's life.
Right.
Because I don't know if our audience knows this. I mean, you guys have been everywhere.
Yeah, he's a comedian, a political satirist. I've known him all my life. He had a lot of rage.
But he was instrumental in the Boston comedy scene.
Sure. He started a club that, like, Stephen Wright, Paula Poundstone, Kevin Meaney, myself, Dennis Leary, a whole bunch of folks came out of. Mm-hmm. So, and he was the gatekeeper, you know. Mm-hmm. He would let you on, and if you were derivative, you didn't get work. And a guy that was intimidating, still is a little bit, you know. So, I'm jumping ahead, but he... as an adult, was processing his rapes as a child when he was 4. And while he was looking for other survivors on the internet, and this is the early 90s, mid-90s, he found all these pedophiles exchanging child pornography in AOL chat rooms. And he went to AOL. They didn't do anything. He went to... The police in the movie were like, we didn't have computers at that time. So he got all this evidence against AOL and then took them to the floor of a Senate judiciary hearing and basically shamed them into getting their act together. And in the process, I watched this, you know, I watched Barry go from this angry guy that was funny and stuff to a lot of the anger went away and he started aiming it at at worthy topics instead
of the transformation.
I saw it. So
amazing now that he's taken this incredibly horrible thing that happened and now can help other people. I mean, wow, it's like full circle.
Right. And you know, for his full circle, and I felt it was important in the movie to stress that he's come through the other side. You know, I think various people in various recoveries end up getting, and I'm not criticizing them, but they end up making, that ends up being a victim or being a recovering addict.
Yeah, staying
whatever.
The victim.
Yeah, or you know, and I'll talk about addicts too. That becomes their personality.
Mm-hmm.
And he came through the other side. And,
yeah.
And it's a hopeful movie, even though it's different than my other movies because these are real people. But I guess tonally it wasn't
much
different.
I didn't get to see it yet, but I did hear that it's just shot beautifully.
Yeah, it's different than my other movies. I was really concerned I just feel that anybody using finding DV footage and stuff and a doc, you know, and I just felt that, I don't know why, it's the prettiest movie I shot on the ugliest subject.
That is so lovely. Wow. No, that's amazing. Well, and I also heard it's a movie about the opposite of kindness. Wait. Now I'm jumping ahead to God Bless America.
God Bless America, I would say. Yeah, that was a violent movie
about kindness. Yeah, I'm thinking. But this is sort of, in a way,
it's the flip side.
Also very violent.
It's the most violent, you know, outside of, and Barry could have died during these rapes. So, yeah, I mean, the difference is at this point, I go make my movies and then I promote them. And this is different because it's a real person and it's weird, you know, to be talking about a real person as if usually I make a movie and I go, this is how I see the world. Wah, wah, wah. So I said, well, I'll make Barry's story. But what I didn't see coming was the fact that Barry's story is pretty universal. And as we have these screenings and play film festivals, so many adults come and disclose to us, some of them for the first time, about their child abuse. So it's been really heavy. I'm going to go out and make a talking duck movie next.
Well, you know, but I mean, but
wait,
Barry
but that's
Crimmins,
fostering abuse onto us.
Yeah. You haven't seen Quackers yet.
Because he is such a success. We can look at Barry Crimmins and think, like, what a success that he came out the other side and he got this message across. But you did it too, because it's your movie. So you can feel very confident that you have made a difference now as well. And so my question is, going forward, I heard you just say you want to make a goofy movie, but do you also have other aspirations? Because I know you've known some people, you know, that have committed suicide.
Right.
And there's a lot of heavy stuff.
I'm not afraid to go back and do another heavy topic, and I'm sure I will. But I honestly do need to take a mental break because we've been living with this for.
Yeah.
It's just been Robin Williams was my pal and he passed away. And so, you know, he was the one that suggested I make it as a documentary and actually gave me the initial money to start it. And, you know, he passed away right when the movie was the last day of filming. So
wow. Really?
Yeah. So it sounds trite, but after, you know, I wanted to be with, you know, I've never talked about him until this movie because I know that he was proud of it and believed in it. You know, it was very sweet. He was like, you know, he said he wanted his name on it. You know, that was pretty cute.
That's really amazing.
So, it was just a year of you know, divorce. My best friend passed away. And then my girlfriend and I broke up decorating the Christmas tree. But then when things got down, I could spend, you know, 8 to 12 hours a day editing a movie about child abuse.
Wait a minute. Well, first of all, this is the end of the junket, so you can now let it go pretty much, right?
Yeah, people don't realize that. Yeah, it's like you're living with this every day.
And I feel that coming on. Like, I feel like, because I've been that busy for the whole year between the movie and working on other people's things. And I do see all of a sudden this suck happening, like, whew, Yeah. So
there might be some helium inside that maybe you can take off again.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
I'm thinking backdraft. It's like
yeah.
You hit the
let's
door.
Let's hear about let's hear about the breakup over the Christmas tree. This is exciting.
Oh well, that was very.
This is exciting.
That wasn't
nice sympathy.
It wasn't
no,
as
I'm
juicy as it sounds. It was.
Was it the colors, the bulbs, lights?
Look, I'm an agnostic. We not having an angel.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that. It was. It was clearly, and I love this woman dearly. She wants kids, and I'm sure she was looking at this tree, realizing that there wasn't going to be any.
Let me tell you. Okay, I have an 8-year old.
Right.
Now your daughter's in her late 20s, right? And so, oh wow, and so she is off and on her own, and she's successful, and she's a customer.
She's a costume designer, but she
so
just
fabulous.
Last night she just I just moved. I just rented a new house, and she's now renting the guest house.
Oh, that's so great.
It's a sitcom. It's
that's fantastic.
Come and knock on my door.
No,
I always tell my daughter, I always say, honey, you can always be with
no,
mama.
No, this is this premise
it.
Is
gonna be,
dad is wacky and like a teenager.
It's
going to
be brutal. It's going to be a French farce.
You've got to get.
Because she's very opinionated about the women I date.
Get a fire pit.
Oh.
And then, you know, that'll gather them in because everybody likes to
well,
look
we
at the
already,
fire.
We already been the, we've all.
Have you already dated a woman younger than her? Has that happened?
Oh, my God.
No.
Wow, that seemed like a lie to me. That seemed like a lie.
Very vague.
Within how many years of your daughter's age have you dated?
We did. Well, that's the cutoff.
28.
Technically,
so I'm saying above. So she's 28.
You're only like 52, right?
I'm 53.
53.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the
but
cutoff.
But here's the thing: I don't know where to meet age-appropriate women. I really don't. Like, I truly don't. Like, I don't know what to do. Am I supposed to go to bingo? I mean,
well, it is tricky because a lot of women in their 30s would like to have children. And,
yes.
And if they're in their 40s, their clock is even ticking louder.
Right.
And so. So, and fair enough, you know, fair
sure.
enough
well,
that they want to
have
a kid.
Let me direct you to a website called Our Time. Have you seen the commercials
no.
for Our Time?
No.
It's
that's
dating
hilarious.
For people in their 50s.
Oh, funny.
Maybe.
And there's
I'll
a guy on there and he goes, you know, I got my first
Why
flirt.
Why did you say no immediately?
No. Because he doesn't, I don't think you want a woman in her 50s. Well, maybe you do.
But I don't, I mean, I truly.
He's saying he doesn't meet him and it's right. Why would you
I
meet
truly
a woman
don't.
In a 47-year-old woman
I
right
don't,
here?
I don't. I don't meet them. I don't know what that because I'm I don't know if it's the world I travel in or what it is.
What
a 47-year-old woman wants to be home by 8 o'clock.
Really?
So she's at home.
I'm 50 years old. I don't want to be home.
You spent enough time at home with the no. You've been raising your daughter for 8 years, and now you have a little bit of freedom because she lives in a trailer in the back because she's 8. No, but it's like you
What's happening?
You can go out and do things, but
right.
you haven't been out of the house before 8 for a long time before this year. Is this not so?
Okay.
Is this not so?
Well, until I got divorced, which I'm technically how could I? I was home with the kids 7 nights a week. But now I'm only home with the kid 4 nights a week. So now I have 3 nights a week. Do you know what I mean?
As Louis C.K. pointed out, being a good parent half a week, easy.
It's a win-win situation. I'm not advocating divorce, but it is a really, to have a few days off to, you know, just
be myself.
It's good
time management. Yes.
The point is this. When she's with me, Hannes, she has to go to bed at 8 o'clock. I mean,
right. That's what I'm saying.
So what am I going to do?
No, that's what I'm just saying. How is he going to meet
well, his kid is 28.
No, how is he
going to
meet a woman in her late 40s?
And she goes
that
to bed really late.
Yeah, I know. Okay, we say, you know, Bobcat, you can just leave now. We're going to argue for half an hour. We're done. Thank you.
Oh,
no.
My gosh. Hey, let me tell you something. Seeing Bruce Hornsby was so much fun in World's Greatest Dad because I love Bruce Hornsby.
Oh, so, he's so great. He was such a sweet guy.
Were you a fan of his before the...
Well, no. You know, I had written a script that I was thinking that Robin's character, you know, I wanted an artist that he would have been a fan of.
Yeah, age appropriate.
Yeah. And so... And I thought of Bruce Hornsby, and then it just kept all these cool things. I ended up using a lot of his music in the movie. And
you sure did, and I love the way that you take music because I'm a huge music buff, and I hear all the songs, and I love how you do different arrangements of the songs and different. So it's not Mandolin
right.
Rain.
Oh, thanks.
So how do you decide? Is that your input?
Well, no. I mean, you know, you do ask. You know, it's a mixture. You know, it's you go, well, I'm going to use, like in Sleeping Dogs Lie or Stay, I I was using Now I Want to Be Your Dog, you know.
Right.
But I thought that was right on the head. So but what I did was we did an accordion version. So, you know.
Yeah, it's so clever. Now, look, I got a question here from a Storyworthy fan, Art Wheeler. He's going to be so thrilled. I just said his name.
That I know. He's actually, he just juggaloed in his pants. That's what happened.
Juggaloed.
He wants to know, what was the inspiration for the film Sleeping Dogs Lie? And if you don't mind, I mean, I've watched the film. I know the film. But how do you explain this film? Well, go ahead. You explain the film.
It's hard. It's a rom-com with a tiny bit of bestiality, a tasteful bit of bestiality.
Is it?
Like most that Sarah Jessica Parker would.
Well, it was it's usually the end of the movie that'll hit me, and then I go backwards. So there it was, her Melinda's character says, living up to the lies that we tell about ourselves is what makes us better people. So I thought, okay, I like that idea.
Yeah.
How do I go, what's a lie and things that people couldn't get past.
You couldn't stop thinking about it. If once you hear it, you'll never think of it the same.
It's not an exploration of bestiality. It was just I wanted this thing, the MacGuffin, to be something that, people wouldn't be able to let
go.
I'm so thrilled to hear the word MacGuffin that's an actual thing. But it's like, a lot of people don't know that, and I'm pleased that you use that term.
Well, once the pretentious gates were open.
Yeah, right. So when Truffaut interviewed Hitchcock, did you read it in the original French? Because I did. No,
so I'm the done. Actress in the movie, so Melinda Hamilton in the movie, she sucks off a dog, her dog.
Correct, yes.
And so that's,
but a while ago.
Sleeping Dogs Lie.
Yeah,
I think she was in college.
And she says, it was like that thing of, she's not into bestiality, and it was more like how, a toaster's hot and you touch it anyways.
Yeah, just to see what would
that's
happen.
So funny, I fucked
lying,
a toaster.
And the dog is laying on its
that'll
back.
That'll be my next movie.
Yeah. But that movie, and one of the things I love about that movie is it kind of comes around full circle. It's a Bobcat Goldthwait movie in that you have to connect all the dots, because if you look at any of that independently, it's pretty... it's really gross.
It's horrific, right?
It's super crazy. And so, but when you look at it full circle, basically it comes around to like the importance of putting it out there and letting it go, or lying about it altogether.
Yeah. And I think most of the movies I'm involved in are certainly Call Me Lucky, certainly that movie, all of them are myself trying to figure out truth and honesty and stuff, and I don't believe being honest all the time is the right thing. I think sometimes people use it as a manipulative tool and as cruel.
So it's like the importance of lying sometimes.
Yeah, and so that was the theme of that movie.
The last line of the movie, she's with this guy,
spoiler alert,
her boyfriend Ed, and he says, "Did you have any dogs growing up?" And she says, "No, just cats." Yeah. And just completely, we're done with it, and we're behind, and we could say goodbye and move forward. I love that.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, listen, speaking of cats, I have a lot of cats.
Have you ever gone down on a cat?
No, I don't have a lot of cats. I only have one cat, thank God.
What's your cat's name?
Sophie. And she came that way. But that's what I want to know.
But my cats came with their slave names.
You have amazing but my stories about cats.
You have Malcolm.
My cats came with their slave names from the rescue, and that was Thor and Moonbeam. And then about a week later, Anderson Cooper told me, that his name was Anderson Cooper.
Wait a minute. I'm not following.
No, it's that my cat's name Anderson Cooper, and then his sister's Alice Cooper.
Oh,
I kind of wait for their names to come up.
And you give a backstory to your cats.
Most of them, yeah. Like Detective Carla Whiskerson was from the streets.
And this is,
played by our own rules. But my wife and I split up, so I didn't want to split up the cats, even though two of them were kind of mine. I just didn't want to split them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, they get really used to each other. They sleep together.
Yeah, I don't think Squeaky Fromm and Detective Carla Whiskerson would know what to do without each
other. Squeaky Fromm. He named
Who's going to play Detective
Well, it was a redhead that I found wandering Hollywood. So.
I see. So what else could it be? Right.
It's clearly
Have you ever been
sketchy.
Sleeping and then the cat is kneading
Oh, of course.
You,
are you setting me up? Because I had one of my cats was making biscuits on my nuts, and I was having a dream that had little tiny pterodactyl claws. And then I woke up, and then I pulled the sheet off, and her claws went into my scrotum.
Oh, no, that didn't really happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
No, look, I'm in my 50s. It was...
You didn't
feel scrotum
it?
Was a mile away.
Yeah, it was like she... I wasn't in jeopardy. It was like she was stuck. She was like...
Did you have underwear
pulling
on?
Pulling taffy.
Did you have underwear on?
It went through the underwear.
Was she over
now
the sheet?
Now I'm having sense memory.
Was she over the sheet?
No, she was under the sheet.
Under the sheet, but
boom.
Just...
And then pulling on...
Was it a boxer short, a knit?
They were... I was wearing manties. They were the... Yeah.
Unfortunately, now, for some reason, that's where I thought it was too much information. I was fine right up until the actual kind of underwear, and I'm like,
now
hey,
you got me
hey now I got
he
that in your... You know, what's weird is I just got a puppy, like 8 weeks old, so young he doesn't know what walking is, and he just likes to chew on things, including the crotch of whatever I'm wearing.
Then he
just starts digging in there. I'm like, and from a distance, it really does not look right.
Is it when you're sitting down, or does it jump up and latch
no,
on?
No. Of course, I get a boner, but that's a whole other... No.
Maybe somebody... That's a sequel to Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah, exactly. No, obviously, he's in my lap, and he's chewing on the little rawhide thing, and then he just slips it a half inch away from it, and next thing I'm like, why is someone tugging on my pants?
You've got kibble in your taint.
So wait a second. I want to tell you, I have a cat.
Hey, you're right.
And the cat sleeps on my head every night.
Sure.
She sleeps right on my head. And I have this nightmare, though, because I'm just in an apartment, that I hear the cat in the litter box. I hear the...
I hear the
scratching in the litter box in the bathroom, but I reach up and I feel my cat. So who the fuck is in the litter box?
Oh, who's scratching it?
Yes. That's my nightmare.
No, ghost cat. Much better is who's on your head. You have to know that your cat is in the litter box, but, and then you're like, what's this animal on my head?
Oh, that's good, honey.
And that's a movie
from
right
the
there.
The other direction. It's called Pillow Talk.
I think cats... As someone who's owned multiple cats, I always love like one's crapping and they're scratching around, and the other one it stops whatever it's doing. Is like, whoa, did you hear that?
Yeah,
I don't know why they're fascinated by that.
Yeah, they are.
They always go.
I like how sometimes they just go quick to the kitchen, and then the phew, and they're gone. No, to the bedroom.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you should. We have three cats, and we've added this puppy, and now
you're crazy,
they're just looking. They've been really good with it because they can smell it's a baby. But he'll be like, hey, play. And they look at him like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about?
What do you mean by smell it? It's a baby. What's that mean?
No, they can smell.
Adolescent
animals.
It's a puppy.
No, they can. No, it's the smell. They literally can smell that.
That came out of a baby's uterus?
No. They can smell how old an animal is. They can smell how old the animal is.
I'm going to call bullshit.
I'm making shit up. It's like, I love animals so much, I know what they smell. No, you don't.
No, he says you can tell their age. That's like a carny ride. Like, someone smells your... you're 70.
Juggalos.
Wait, we never did answer the question.
Are you telling me you can't tell the smell of a 70-year-old man?
Yeah,
I think you actually can.
I think we never answered the question from
Art Wheeler. What was the inspiration for Sleeping Dogs Lie? I mean, how did you come up with
it wasn't.
That particular...
You came up with the secret.
Yeah.
You said somebody has a
idea.
Secret. Then what the secret is.
I don't
is
have
funny.
Any bestiality in my past, or I didn't know anyone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was the fact that I wanted some sort of thing that people couldn't get past.
Took you too far.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you, in God Bless America, obviously, you know, it's almost like Natural Born Killers, but it's hilarious. The path. Well, Natural Born Killers was actually very funny in a lot of ways.
That's a cartoon. I mean, Oliver Stone says it's a cartoon.
Yeah, that was over the top.
But I think, like, the movies that influenced that one more was Network, you know, and...
Oh, God, I love that movie.
And things like that. And there's a movie called Little Murders that if I made a movie that was preaching to the people who would agree with these characters and set it in a nonviolent world, it wouldn't reach the people who I was actually trying to annoy.
Did you research reality TV? American Idol, of course, was a reference with American Superstar.
Yeah, and all the stuff that's in it, like some people say, well, that was low-hanging fruit. It's like I chose ones that were so big
that people
would know. And then other ones, I mean, the whole germ of it was I was over in England and my Super Sweet 16, the American version, there was a marathon of it, and I was just like, I was so depressed that we were exporting this, and that's what people thought. But I was sitting there one day with my wife, and a commercial came on, and an animated elephant danced out and stuck its ass to the screen and then just blew a fart, and it said, 1-800-FART. It's the funniest ringtone. And I just looked at it. I says, we just have to get some guns.
And
we
so, in the, movie, so in the movie, it's a pig. You did a pig fart.
Yeah, a pig. Right. So I really didn't do any parody. I actually just refilmed.
I know. You took TMZ and make it TMI.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's
just
so perfect.
I just shot actual stuff. You
it's unbelievable that it could be that simple. It was right there.
Yeah, because I didn't want to, like, if you do enough of a parody, then people can go, the people that I'm trying to skewer can go, yeah, I get it. You know, it's like, you know, I didn't want the cast of Jersey Shore in the movie. There was a show called Bad Girls, and that's what Tough Girls is, you know.
Yeah,
I wasn't parodying
anything. Fight, and they're one girl pulls a tampon out of her vagina and throws it at the other girl.
Right, but in the actual show, one of the girls was going to bathroom and the other one's food.
it's just too much. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, it's actually gotten beyond. I mean, naked dating.
Yeah,
there's a show called Naked Dating.
That's the name of the show.
No, that's the show. It's like naked people with their private parts fuzzed out, and they're on a beach, and they're dating. It's like we've hit the end of the road.
Yeah,
you're right.
We're really close to Ask the Movie.
Yeah.
You know, in God Bless America, you know, there's a, you know, again, it's a parody, but the movie theater shooting is so scary, and so now that's happening.
And then that's happened
this
a
was
few
before
times. You know,
ever saw that in real life, right?
Yeah, and. It's interesting. I've seen, and I'm a huge Quentin Tarantino fan, but I've seen him sometimes get upset when people ask him about violence in movies, and you know, these things that happen are just an example of how poorly we treat our mentally ill. You know, all these shootings, these didn't come out of the blue. These were people who had not only did they have records, they had people, you know, the Agora shooting, you know, people were so frightened of him they would have to bring security in when he was in a classroom. So it's how we pour. So, you know, I had people mad at me for that, and the line, it was a minister in West Virginia, I can't remember, but he was blaming me for one of the shootings, and I said that, you know, if the quote I said was, I will censor myself and remove these things and stop making these if you honestly believe that violent works of fiction create this stuff, I will edit myself. But you better start with the Bible, was what I wrote, I wrote to the guy.
Yeah, talk about, wow.
It's the most violent book
I
know.
How would you hear from a guy like that? Would he write to you?
I was ego surfing, and it was in a newspaper where it was really funny because the other movies that he had brought up were such huge pictures, and then he brought up my movie that cost $750,000 to film.
Yeah, and is that what it cost to film?
Yeah.
No kidding, $750,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's
what's the craft services like
that's
on a film?
Very,
like
that? Very low.
That's what I care about.
We have the background bring us food.
Okay.
It's like, you guys got any Cocoa Puffs? It's a potluck.
It's a potluck movie. I have no problem with
that. A lot of crock pots.
So let me ask you, what are some of your favorite documentaries?
Oh, I would say Brothers Keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And
wait, Brothers Keeper, that was, which one was
the same guys who did the West Memphis 3 movies.
Oh, yeah.
And it's this movie about, and it has a similar ending to, these two guys, this family of outcasts are put through a hellacious trial. And, you know, at the end, one of the brothers says, you know, despite everything, I think people are good. And it's the Anne Frank ending. And it's Call Me Lucky's ending, you know, where Barry at the end, you know, says he's lucky.
Yeah.
You know? So that moves me a lot. American Movie. You know,
you know what I have there written right here? Da-da-da, my favorite documentary, American Movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's I'm obligated to point out, to our listeners and to you, that I'm from Milwaukee, and I talk about it like in every show. That American Movie, those guys are Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That's exactly all my relatives and my cousins and people I went to school with. I've never seen any film that captured a city perfectly. That's like, they're very nice, they're not stupid, but they're very particular, and they have these accents that people don't understand that there's an accent there.
Right.
It's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, I love that as well. That's interesting you say that, Hannes, in terms of the way Bobcat casts his movies. The way you cast your movies, they're so perfect. Everybody's so believable.
Oh, thanks.
Like from the principal to the father to the son, everybody.
Thanks. I mean, I think I got really lucky with most of the casting. And when I'm not... I'm not, because I make my movies so far out of the system, and I work with my friends, but I also can get the best people for the job instead of, I don't have to, you know, when I made God Bless America, Tara, you know, she came in and auditioned, who played the young girl, and she was the best. And, you know, if I was making them within the studio system, I would be working with somebody that didn't fit, but because they had heat, you
right?
Know?
And somebody said, "Well, yeah, we'll give you this person, but you got to take that person with you, or something."
Yeah, that's
like that.
The best when you know that's the coolest thing about making small movies. I get to hire the people that are best for the job,
right? So, like actress Alexi Gilmore, you can use her again and again,
because
she's so fantastic, and you know you're going to color in, and it's going to work.
Yeah, I love her. Yeah, so she's great, and they all show up in the as I keep making movies. You know,
like Christopher Guest movies.
You know,
he calls the same people in.
Yeah, he really knows
it's going
to
work.
I'd really love to make another movie with Joel Murray, who was in God Bless America. I just saw him the other night.
Yeah. Oh, like, no kidding.
Let's make another movie.
And how's your stand-up going along?
I do stand-up because there's a connection with a live audience. No, I do it for money.
No, wait.
Thank you.
Really?
God, the truth comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
And how many minutes are you doing? You do 30 minutes for an hour?
Oh, no. When I do a club gig on the road, I do 50 minutes.
Yeah, full on.
But sometimes, like, in L.A., you know, I'll jump up at the Nerd Mountain rooms like that. They say the alt rooms, you know.
Yeah,
so,
and the chairs are so uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but other than
that's how you know you're in an alt room. If you're uncomfortable and there's one bathroom.
Oh, wait, I have something here I want to ask you. You were on a plane when an engine blew out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's a big story. But...
I used to be a flight attendant, and I've been on a plane.
You should have me back on, and I'll tell that
story. Really, William?
Yeah.
That's the title of my book, The City Police. Yeah.
See, I...
Wow, that was
that's the most disturbing...
Subtle plug.
The most disturbing part of the engine, you know, and the pilot clearly was just going to land the plane as soon as possible is what was happening. But seeing... two flight attendants who were welling up.
Yeah.
That was the most scary thing
I've
ever
seen. Yeah. Bad
that's when I was doing
because they had checked out. Yeah. They were strapped in. They had leaned out of the window. And what I guess they were looking at was a flaming engine. And that whole thing of we're here for your safety first, these ladies were holding each other's hand.
Yeah.
I always thought you were professional, Karen. Like they had, it was horrible.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah, like
wait,
I expected
wait,
they'd
so
be like...
So they're in their jump seat, and now you're preparing for an emergency landing.
Yeah, and
everybody knows we're going down, and the runways have been lined with emergency equipment.
Yeah, they put foam out.
Fire trucks are there. Everybody's ready for you guys.
Yeah.
And now, how far away from you are you from the flight attendant?
I could see it in my head now. It was like, you know, probably 7-8 feet that I could see them.
Are you in first class, and they're in the front?
I actually was not in first class on this flight.
So you're in coach.
Yeah.
And you're leaning over and you're looking at him. You're so bad.
She said,
and they're holding each other's hands.
And she said, I always thought you were very professional.
Yeah.
I got to
I don't know. I put that words in their mouth, but I'm just seeing them.
Because if that's what you say to me,
funny,
it's the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life.
That is hilarious.
Because in my head, you know, flight attendants are running up and down the aisles, handing out things when the planes get about to. Yeah. They were somber and quiet.
Really,
and they had
really funny.
Welled up eyes.
Yeah. Right before we were landing, I was going, I don't fucking believe this is going down right now. I can't fucking believe it.
So you were mad about it?
Yeah, I was mad. I was totally
mad. Did you think you were going to live?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did too.
Because we had two engines. We had just blew out one.
You know, I think most people were losing it. People who were looking at the engine were losing it.
Yeah.
And then the other people that were losing it was the acceleration as we were careening towards the Earth. But I knew that they were just trying to put us down.
Yeah. And there are all the emergency equipment is there. And just because you're in an airplane crash doesn't mean you die.
I got to say, at that point, I really didn't even think in those terms. I just really kind of let it all go and thought it was funny. It was like,
I got off the rest of the day. So I was, I was in.
Well...
Hey, listen, man, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Yes, okay.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
the wheel landed on, this is a 1 minute story, on Passport. When my friend Tony V and I were leaving Canada, and he was the American Tourister gorilla, we were pulled out. They looked through our passports, and they yanked us out of the line. And then he was the gorilla, so he used to wear tights, weighed 250 pounds, been putting a lot of baby powder in his crotch. The guy finds this baby powder and taint sweat, little white rocks in the bottom of the luggage. He licks his finger. He tastes this thing. And I'd like to think I'm pretty fast. He's furious. What are you laughing at? And I just go, his balls. That's all I could say. I just kept saying that.
That is a terrific story. Wow. And only 39 seconds long.
Wait a minute.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go back. Hang on. Let's fill in the 20 seconds with he was what?
He was the American Tourister gorilla. So he had this gorilla suit. The suit wasn't with us, but his unitard was.
Yeah. So he had it on.
So his job was
two guys and one giant guy has a black unitard that smelled like B.O.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. The whole powdering when you're overweight, the whole like lifting flesh and putting powder and like, I guess you have to do that. I guess that would be, but that to me is like such a strong impetus to never be overweight.
Because you don't, it's a.
Okay.
I don't want to do that powder
for the powdering?
The powdering routine. That's
really?
So
the shortness of breath, the waking up with the heart palpitations.
The powder routine.
The powder.
And when you go into somebody's bathroom and there's powder all over the place, you know that's what they've been doing and it grosses me out.
Well, my daughter bought me some ball powder. It's a ball powder.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it like?
It's just
it's like
powder.
Heaven. No, yeah. It's a little bit of a minty zing to it, but I.
You tasted it?
No, I feel it and smell it. So
is it like you smell your balls smell like gum?
They smell like heaven. Yeah. So I leave.
You
I don't know.
Really weird
I
I'm literally going to say heaven, and he said heaven.
What I do is I don't use it that often, but I just love the product, so I put it right openly on my sink. So and it's the only bathroom you can use in that part of the house.
Really?
Like if you were a guest, you would come in and say.
Think that should be in the master bath?
Well, it really isn't a master bath, and I just love the idea of people coming in and poking around.
You don't
and
have a powder room?
Yeah.
Not in my bedroom. No.
Well, Christine, what you're trying to avoid is a man on a
It is a powder room.
Yeah, every room's a powder room in Bobcat's house.
Yeah.
Christine, what you're trying to avoid as a man on a hot night is the bat signal.
Oh, what's that?
That's when your scrotum sticks to both sides of your thighs and then it gets
so
pulled
glad.
Out and it looks like the bat signal.
I'm so glad I'm not a man. I really am.
Really?
I really am. I mean,
you've had plenty of disgusting things coming out of your crotch. Let's face it.
Stay home all day and play with my penis if I were a man. But then
you think,
the other
but
hand,
it wears off.
It would wear off.
It does wear off
one.
After about 40 years. No, guys are like, 40, if I was a woman, I'd just hold my boobs
and a half
all day.
Years.
Yeah. I just don't know.
What's the worst thing that ever happened to you crotch-wise as a woman?
Crotch-wise
well,
as a woman?
I'm just saying, you're saying it's disgusting. We're powdering our balls. We're trying to do the right thing.
I had a C-section, so that didn't happen.
Well, that's nearby.
I didn't have that go through.
Yeah.
No, but nothing that big ever
You never had an accident
there.
Like, oh, my period appeared out of nowhere and I'm wearing a white shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a lot of fun. I'll say that.
You know, okay. People thought I was going to take it to this.
Honest always does. Yeah. The line is always behind him, right behind him.
Yep.
Hey, listen, thank you so much for
Thanks
coming
for
on today.
Me on.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And thank you, Hannes. What am I thanking you? I never thank you.
I know.
No, I do thank you, but I thank you at
you
the end.
You thank me at the end.
I got to do it right.
But
let
just
me do
the fact
right.
that I'm talking about periods now, I've brought the show to a halt.
Ladies and
I've
gentlemen.
Disgusted Bobcat Goldthwait. Do you realize how proud I am?
You say that until I write a screenplay about it.
Oh. Hannes would be like an ideal, honest-to-God, middle American, regular guy
America.
Character. Yeah, that's you, all right.
I'm an American.
All right, you guys. I want to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Maria Spertolozzi. Thanks, Maria. Your hair looks really pretty today.
She's refusing to look me in the eye. She finds me disgusting.
And I'd also like to thank Sean Merrick and Roddy Swearingen, and of course, John Thomas Griffith. You know,
they
he's
all
the guy.
Powder their balls.
He's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
Yes, I have no idea who that is.
I'd also like to thank, of course, our guest tonight, Bobcat Goldthwait. Woo! Thank you again so much for coming. And of course, on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week. And you can
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories.
Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
That made no fucking sense whatsoever. No fucking sense at all.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.